cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. Still come on the program here in about 30 minutes. Former Congressman Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Porch Show. And from SR Communications, Sean Ross will join us. We'll hit him up on some of the goings on, some announcements here and there, scattered announcements for legislative seats and whatnot, and what to expect. Certainly a little bit of intrigue around the state of Alabama in this upcoming election cycle, away from the gubernatorial and senatorial contest. But speaking of the senatorial, the gubernatorial contest, our next guest here, I guess he's technically an announced candidate, but not a formally announced candidate. Jim Ziegler, State Auditor Jim Ziegler. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff, and it's good to be back on the Poor Show.
The Poor Show. Well, some people would call it it's a very poor show, but I tend to shrug them off. Jim, let's get right into it. Let's talk about, well, first off, Tim James yesterday wouldn't commit to one way or another running for governor. You had told us, probably about a month ago, that you wanted Tim James and Linda Blanchard to become gubernatorial candidates, that you saw that as a positive because it might help keep Kay Ivey under 50%. Do you still think that is true today?
Well, yes, I do. My strategy has been the more the merrier. If you have a Tim James and several hundred thousand dollars raising issues, and they're there against the Ivey administration, and you have Linda Blanchard and several million of her own money raising issues, then we can certainly keep Governor Ivey below 50%. And my strategy is to come in second and to win that other runoff seat. And so that way, all of the campaigning that the other candidates have done will eventually inure to my benefit and the taxpayers and citizens' benefit in my runoff against Governor Ivey. That's my strategy.
Well, do you there's a lot of reluctance to get into this contest. A lot of people, and yourself included, I would say, that people aren't quite sure whether they want to take on such a, KIV is a juggernaut. It would be expensive, and it's very tough. Does it start to look more appealing at any point in time that people would say, you know what, I do think I got a shot here? Because right now, a lot of people, I guess they pull it or whatever, they don't see it opening.
I'm not certain their thinking, but myself as an outsider, as the leader of the taxpayer opposition to the toll bridge, the Ivey gas tax, the Ivey attempt to take over the education department with her Amendment 1, the prison $3 billion rental phone drago, all of those we beat except the first one, the gas tax. I view it already, these issues have pulled Governor Ivey below 50%. She's down to 42% from her high in 2018 of 56%. Now, that's quite a drop. And there are 34% of the people who know KIV, and they declined. They voted undecided. There's my target audience right there. And if I can raise the money, there's my holdup. If I can raise the minimal amount of money to get my message out to the taxpayers, I don't believe there's any way that the people of Alabama would ratify the gas tax and the way they rammed it through, ratify toll bridges over Alabama, ratify a $3 billion prison boondoggle. But I've got to have the minimal amount of money to get that message out.
Well, what do you make of Tim James yesterday at his press conference in on the Capitol steps there? It's interesting because he thinks apparently he sees a lane there for the cultural issues, the social issues, if you will. That's what he made that all about. I know I'm. Do you think you could out culture issue Kay Ivey at this point in time?
That would not be my strategy, because Kay Ivey and her supporters will say whatever they need to say to be reelected in the May 24th primary. But actions speak louder than words. What her press releases say, what her position is on social issues, doesn't speak as loudly as what she's done. And the basic problem in Montgomery is you've got Ivy and the insiders running things for their own benefit, and you've got Jim Ziegler and the taxpayers questioning it, challenging it, trying to have government of the people, not of the insiders. So this social thing, all of the candidates basically agree that we're against critical race theory. The State Board of Education, under my wife's very strong leadership, banned critical race theory last month in their meeting. And we hope to put that into law, codified into law in the January regular session of the legislature. But a number of us have been working on these issues, and these other candidates, they've been absent.
Well, let me ask you something, and you mentioned the establishment, and we talk a lot about the establishment, but we don't really... We don't spend a lot of time on it. We kind of we operate on this assumption about it, that it's there, that it is ever present in state politics. And I'm not trying to say that I disagree that it is, and I think it definitely is there. But just how rampant do you think it is in Montgomery right now? You've been watching these things for a long time, a lot longer than I have in Montgomery. And you look at the trends, do you find it to have less? When I say establishment, it could be Republican or Democrat. It doesn't really matter. It's what Big Jim Folsom used to call the big mules and planters or whatever. You've always had this kind of ever-present business community and an ag community that, you know, called the shots a lot of places. And for a while it was the AEA. But this establishment, just how powerful is – well, define it for us, if you would. But talk about how powerful you think it is in state government.
Well, Governor Ivey in 18 did not run for re-election on raising your gasoline tax 10 cents a gallon. That wasn't her platform, but as soon as she won the election, that became a high priority. And she was so powerful, she rammed the thing through. She even called a special session during a regular session so she could focus on nailing people down to vote for her gasoline tax. And she was very powerful. I led the citizen opposition to the gas tax, and we came up with ways. We even found $63 million a year being siphoned out of the gasoline taxes and not spent on roads and bridges, but spent to supplement the general fund. And so they're very, very powerful. Now, when we started the campaign to block the toll bridge over Mobile Bay in 2019, people in Montgomery told me, you're wasting your time. It's a done deal. They're going to ram it through just like they did the gas tax. Fortunately, I didn't listen to that, and our 50,000-plus citizen members didn't listen to that, and we found a legal way and blocked the toll bridge. And we blocked Governor Ivey's Amendment 1 that would have given her the power to appoint all state school board members and eliminated the right to vote. We blocked that, and we blocked the $3 billion prison plan.
But I guess just to kind of hit on what is your definition of the establishment in 2021 when as it pertains to state government? It's a term we throw around a lot, but you don't really put a visual with it, if you know what I mean.
Governor Ivey is not running the governor's office. We have a Joe Biden situation in Montgomery. Joe Biden is not running the president's office. In Alabama, our former congressman, Joe Bonner, is the chief of staff, and he is running things. He is the acting governor of Alabama. This is not a good thing to have unelected advisors in there running things. And there are a number of consultants, lobbyists, politicians that support Governor Ivey, and they're advising her, and they give incomplete advice and sometimes bad advice. So now they don't publish a list. Here's the list of the Montgomery establishment. I wish they would publish a list. Of course, they would not be truthful about that if they did. But we know who most of them are.
Yeah, I mean, I think we get it, and there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that maybe is not as obvious or as transparent or evident to the public. So, and like I said, we throw these terms around so much that it's really hard. I guess it's hard for this audience, some people in this audience at least, to really grasp what is going on there and then have an understanding of it when you say the establishment is running things. I mean, it's pretty clear when you get a gas tax and the way it was kind of rammed through, and then a lot of the other, I would say, this abolishing the school board, things like that seem to have the thumbprints of the business community, or the fingerprints of the business community all over them. But people, I guess when you're running against the establishment, and the reason I ask you is, like, what exactly are you running against? I mean, Joe Bonner may be calling the shots in a lot of places in the governor's office, but is it, who is he, who does he answer to somebody? How does all that work, do you think?
The chief of staff of the governor technically answers to the governor. He doesn't answer to the voters and to the taxpaying public. And these Ivey supporters do not want to give up that power that they have. They're running things now, and they'll try to block me and anybody else who has a chance of restoring government for the people in Montgomery. And that's what I've been doing 6.5 years as the state auditor. A lot of times I was only one in Montgomery that stood up against some of the ill-advised things that the administration was doing back during the Bentley administration and back to the beginning of the Ivey administration. This is part of the reason why we need the right of recall in Alabama. The taxpayers need to recall the governor by petition and election if the governor violates the Constitution or violates the oath of office, and I'm going to push for a recall law.
Kind of like what California has, I assume.
I'm not sure it would be exactly down those lines. Alabama is no California, and we don't want to, but it was very hard to recall a Democrat liberal governor of California. It was very hard. And the fact that he did not get recalled does not mean that Alabama doesn't. I believe Robert Bentley would have been recalled 1.5 years before he finally resigned under pressure if we had a recall in Alabama.
Let me ask you this. This has always been strange to me with the Alabama legislature. They're not allowed to call themselves into session. They can only be called into session by the governor. What happens if the governor commits an impeachable offense while the legislature's out of session? Let's say it happens in June, and the governor's not going to call a special session to impeach him or herself. They have to wait till the next calendar year, in the next session. That could be as late as March. So from June to March, you could have a governor in office that committed an impeachable offense, and nothing anybody can do about it.
There is an awkward procedure, as far as I know, it's never been used, that on an impeachment of the governor, the legislature can initiate that when they're not in session. And let me go back. I have not researched that since the Robert Bentley days, because there's been no reason to. But let me get that back to you. It's pretty interesting. Now, one of the things I would do as the governor, I want to back a law that allows the legislature to call themselves in the special session with a certain number of legislative signatures. We need that accountability.
Real quick, Jim, before we let you go, we're running a little short on time here. You made mention Governor Ivey spoke out against Joe Biden's declaration of a vaccine mandate or proof of a negative test or whatever it might be. You called that a flip-flop. Walk us through that real quick.
6 weeks ago, Governor Ivey called for the start of the blame game. She said it's time to start shaming the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are causing the problem for the regular people. That's what she said. And that was somewhere between an inappropriate and atrocious thing for the governor to try to break the state down and pit one group against the other, particularly since the evidence is not there that the vaccinated are somehow the salvation of America. It's just not there. I'll be talking about this in depth this coming Saturday, which is September 18th, at Robertsdale, Alabama, at 11:30. I have a lunch speech hosted by Bama Carey of Baldwin County, and I'll go in depth about that.
Jim, as always, folks, we appreciate you coming on. Folks want to find out more about your gubernatorial efforts. Where do they look?
They would go on to Facebook and look at Jim Ziegler for Governor Facebook page, and they would find out more information about this probably than what they really wanted to know.
Well, Jim, we appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much.
State Auditor Jim Ziegler there on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, West Virginia coal miner. Let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on down the line.